Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, we've been talking about the abundant blessings that our Lord has given to us. He's given us power to become the sons of God. Now, obviously, when we're born again, we are a child of God. But that word son refers to not a baby, not a toddler, not even a young person, but it refers to there's a flavor of maturity to that when we use that, at least in scriptural passages. And so Jesus has done so much for us. The Trinity was willing, heaven was willing to lose their beloved Jesus, and He was sent into earth, and He fulfilled in a perfect way the will of the Father. And that will was spoken of in the third chapter of Genesis, that the pinnacle of His creation, He made man in His own image and likeness. And we perhaps don't even begin to fully understand what that means, but He brought forth restoration. He had that plan in mind even before we were created. And while it was the devil's plan to bring destruction, and he did, he's never changed from his way of operation, his modus operandi, if you will. But Jesus brought restoration, not only redemption, but He is restoring, restoration to restore back to an original state, back to what mankind was in the beginning, in perfect and wonderful, beautiful fellowship with their Father. So in Christ, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we are glorified. Now, those are theological terms, if you will, but they're familiar as you are acquainted with the scriptures. They're used frequently. And let's just take a moment to look at them and give you a few scripture references. Justification has reference to that past and heavenly activity of God, whereby He delivers the believer from all condemnation through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. If we are in Christ, behold, we are a new creature. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Word of God says in Galatians, the first chapter, and I want to read verses 4 and 5, in reference to Jesus, Paul is saying that who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And I've got to read verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. And then in 1 Peter, the third chapter, verse 18, the Word says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So that's, we have been justified. We have been made right before God, justified before God. Now, sanctification refers primarily to God setting us apart for His holy purposes, or to make us holy. Be therefore holy, for I am holy, it says in the Old Covenant. And the believer is admonished by God to sanctify himself, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, if you will, in order to continue the process which began with God. This is very, very significant, beloved. He who began a good work, He's going to be faithful to complete it, but we can't resist Him. We can't oppose Him. We have to cooperate with him. So in Ephesians, the second chapter, I'd like to read those first 10 verses. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Isn't that true, beloved? "According to the prince of the power of the air." Who's that? The devil. "The spirit that now worketh," still works, "in the children of disobedience." Those in the world, the darkness that's out there, they're just doing the will of their father, if you will, and they would, of course, resist that. They think they're free agents. They do not understand. They don't have spiritual truth. Their eyes are darkened. They do not understand their own condition. They think they're free. They can do what they want, especially the elite, those who have money that are not limited by a lack of finances. They are not free. They're only pawns. In fact, they're generally more effective pawns of the devil because they possess mammon. And you can't serve God and mammon, Jesus said. Anyway, verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, that was our state too before we were saved. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved," praise God, "and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This is the exciting thing, beloved, that in the ages to come, and we can't imagine all that that means, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Do you understand that? Even that is a gift of God, "not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why we should love and respect one another, because each one of us are God's special projects. He created us each unique and to bring forth fruit and to spread the aroma of Christ, if you will. We are the savior of Christ in the world. Finally, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, you see, God has a purpose for us, that, and he's established that, and we are to walk, study the scripture, study to show ourselves approved, and the Holy Spirit will reveal moment by moment, season by season, year by year in our life, the plans that he has for us. Let me share 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." Beloved, that should just take a lot of stress off of you. You see, what are we talking about? We're talking about the process of sanctification. Remember, we talked about justification. Now we're on sanctification. And then a final passage I'll share with you in terms of sanctification is found in 1 John, the second chapter, and I want to read verses 15 and 16. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And I have to read verse 17. "And the world passeth away." It is, beloved, we're, this word, as the heavens will be rolled up as a scroll, and this present earth that we live on, it'll last through the millennium, but then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Let me read verse 17 again. "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Praise God. Now, let's talk about that final stage, if you will. We're justified in Christ. We are sanctified in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing life process. We want things done instantly. It doesn't work that way. But from the moment we're born again, we continue to grow until our last breath or until the Lord comes. Now, sanctification, this is where it gets really exciting. It refers primarily to God setting us apart I'm talking about glorification. It's God's term for radiant splendor and has reference now to the future and eternal activity of God, where He delivers the believer, that's you and I, those who have gone on before, with absolute completeness, the work of sanctification is completed. We are then glorified. We are delivered from all that is in opposition to His perfect will. Beloved, what an amazing promise is that? Let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them also He called, and whom He called, listen to this, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Praise, I have to read verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. And then let me read 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verses 51 through 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What a beautiful promise that is, beloved. And then 1 Peter 1, 5 and 9. Who we are kept through the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's the final step, to be glorified in the presence of God. And God has charge of this, and He's doing it. All we have to do is be willing to be surrendered, to surrender. That's all we can give to God, our will. We can present our bodies as we present our bodies, as our minds are renewed. It is our will that is given over to the will of God. We delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law, Lord, I'm speaking this for all of us, Lord, is within our hearts. I love you, and until tomorrow, we'll continue on then. This is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,